This is the Blockchain Billions Podcast with your host, Henrik de Geer.
I'm Henrik de Geer. Today I'm speaking with Tony Sakic. Tony, how are you?
I'm doing great. How are you?
Great. Tony, who are you and what do you do?
Well, as you said, I'm Tony Sakic, and I am the Director of Marketing for Augur. Augur is a decentralized prediction market platform that is built on a blockchain that's very similar to Bitcoin, but the blockchain that Augur is on is called Ethereum. And Ethereum essentially is the same as Bitcoin, but almost like a Bitcoin 2.0, where it has advanced features and just basically a different feature set that makes it distinct instead of just a currency, as it allows for smart contracts to exist on the blockchain in a giant network of computers that is really controlled by no one, yet controlled by everyone at the same time.
Tony, how are you involved with blockchain?
Maybe 2012, I learned about Bitcoin and I asked around, and no one I knew in real life, even online as friends, knew anything about it. I was the only one. It was crickets. So I just kept getting interested and more and more interested in learning more on my own, and at continuing to ask people, and the reactions I got were pretty funny. Now looking back on it, everything from, you know, people saying, this has to be a scam, you know this, right? To my mom thinking I had mental issues for my obsession with internet funny money. So it really wasn't exactly the easiest thing to be a fan of. At the time, I lived in Detroit, worked in music, and actually at college, massively different background there. But I really liked Bitcoin, and I ended up getting contacted by a recruiter in 2014, January, I believe, or February, that saw I had an interest and knowledge about Bitcoin in my profile, and I had a marketing degree and a background in marketing. So they contacted me. Recruiter, I quickly figured out they were hiring on behalf of BitPay, which is, to this day, I would say the largest payment processor in the Bitcoin space, and they're based here in Atlanta, where I'm at now. So I did everything. I've never went more all out for an interview in my life. I put two 20-page presentations together and hit it out of the park, and they hired me immediately, moved me down to Atlanta, and I spent 2014 working for BitPay. And 2014 was a ridiculous year. It was the year where every week had a different Bitcoin story, and quite often it was something that I had at least something to do with, and sometimes it was a lot I had to do, that I was doing, and sometimes it wasn't. But things from 50 Cent accepting Bitcoin and Warner Brothers Records to Newegg, and at the end of the year, we actually signed Microsoft. So that was really the end of 2014, and looking back on it, it really does seem like, wow, that was the end of that era of Bitcoin. As after Microsoft, that whole aura of, oh, look who's accepting Bitcoin now, really went away, because when Microsoft accepts it, it's just not as big. And so that was how 2014 wrapped. You know, basically what happened was Augur came along. When Augur came along, I was floored. At first, I had to grasp my head around it, because I did have an interest in Bayesian probability and some of the things that Augur is based on. But I had a super familiarity with prediction markets. I knew of them, and that's about as much as I knew. And the interesting thing in the blockchain space is if you want to work on a project, you usually need to know both blockchain and whatever segment that project is in, which means that I had to have a crash course in learning prediction markets. So January and February were spent firming up the team, firming up branding of 2015, I should say. We're spent doing that and getting Augur off the ground. We had a really good first year. When I was brought on, I was originally only brought on through our crowd sale that happened late summer, early fall of last year. It was only through the end of the crowd sale, but apparently things went very well, and I'm still there, so that's great. I'm very happy about that. We ended up raising $5.3 million in our crowd sale, which at the time was in a very bearish crypto market. At the time, Ether was trading, I think, for a dollar or two at most, and Bitcoin, I would say, is $300 to $400. And we raised that much then. So I think if we would have had our sale a little later, it would have been ridiculous. But the good thing is we were the pioneering sale in the first big project on Ethereum. Our crowd sale happened 2 weeks after Ethereum fully launched. And to this day, that's given us not only the first mover advantage, but it really helped solidify Ethereum. Within 6 months, Ethereum was taken very seriously in a world where other altcoins weren't seen as something different. And Augur, I think, was the first piece of that puzzle in that happening, which is fantastic. It was something that I was a part of, and I can't believe it even when I look at it now of how crazy and successful it's been, even though we still have so much more to do and so much more work that needs to be done. From my end, it's like you're doing something very innovative. And at the time, it was in the top 25 crowdfunded projects of all time. And since then, there's been many projects that have done very similar strategies to what we did with Augur and had massive successes. One of them I even started with, which is Digix. So it's turned into a viable model for funding open source projects or crypto projects. It's a double-edged sword, though, because what we're seeing, especially in the past month or two, are a lot of projects that have very, very little oversight, I would say, and poor messaging, having crowd sales, and it's resulting in, I would say, distrust and a lot of anger, because not all crowd sales are created equal. In fact, I would say there's very few that are valid, and unfortunately, sometimes investors can't tell that. So I do generally believe the market will reflect their confidence in a project. But seeing that now is discouraging, because it's a great new way to fund projects. But once one or two huge clear scams happen, when it's someone that runs off with the money right away, it's going to hurt this model in the future. And I'm hoping that doesn't happen. But you never know. So I guess going back to the question, because I like to voyage off topic, that's how I'm involved in blockchain. I consider myself to be one of the more successful marketers in the space. I have a great track record. Apparently, people agree with me. I have a pretty good I get pretty good reactions when I talk to other folks and I ask them what they thought of something I may have been a part of. So I'm very happy about that. I'm also proud of the fact that I'm slightly more technical than other marketers. I'm nowhere near what I would say a developer would be, but if you don't understand at least the technical underpinnings of the technology, it's very hard to sell or market a product. And a lot of other projects are failing at that because they think hiring a firm to market and handle all of that stuff is the best way to go, when there's so few firms that even understand the technology that it's just throwing money out the window. And I really want to help educate, especially the lone founder in a basement that has a cool idea for a project but no funding. They're the ones that I would love to have conversations with about marketing, and I have. And it's cool because you get to help them out a little bit and say, hey, don't waste your money. Marketing in general, especially in technology, it seems like an industry that exists just to send me annoying emails trying to get me to sign up for their services, even though I never am interested because the ROI would never be worth it. And I fail to see how it ever would be. But that's something for, I think, others to learn. And I can preach from the rooftops, and I'm not sure that would go away. So I suppose that I'm in that weird intersection of being a dirty marketer, but involved with a really cool technology and idea like blockchain and Bitcoin. So it's something I've loved and I do love. And I loved open source software and the ideology behind it before that. And I loved decentralized technology before that, and things like BitTorrent and MeshNet projects. It just was the next logical step. So I'm glad to actually be working in the field, because it's something that I never would have access to in Detroit. And it took moving here until I ever even met one person that had a similar interest in any of these things in my life. And that's with 10 or 15 years of interest. So it's pretty great.
Tony, what are the biggest challenges and successes with blockchain?
Oh, wow. That's a big one, because there's a lot of challenges. And at this point, it really depends on how you view success. So I guess I'll start with the successes. No matter how hard the hype machine may spit out hype, blockchain technology hasn't had its killer app yet. Not many companies are profitable that I know of. I firmly believe it will happen, but I always try to make projections, but I really don't know. It could be in a year. It could be in 20. And I think that that's one of the challenges, that you never know when the success may happen, right? There's tons of money pouring into this space, but the flip side of that is, what happens if a lot of these projects are 5 years ahead of their time and they don't have funding to last that long? In the dot-com bubble, there were of companies that would have been viable a few years later. I always like to talk about IATA, which was internet radio. You know, they got $30 million in funding, so they blew tons of money on an office in Times Square and, you know, blew through all their money within a year or two. And if they would have held on and budgeted and lasted until the podcasting thing became popular, they would have been entrenched and been able to get the best talent and be the leaders, kind of like how Amazon is and what they do now. But they didn't, and it's not just them. It's a lot of companies in that era. And it's a drag, because no one wants to have a project that they believe in fail, and then you see it works 2 years later. That's awful. But that's the history of technology, especially now when it moves fast and there's so much speculatory money thrown at new ideas. I think another challenge is that the community has fractured to a degree that is quite incredible. It's so different in the first place, because it was a currency, or, you know, a protocol, depending on how you want to look at it. But it was a currency that actually had an internet community built around it, right? That's something that just never happened before. You never heard of, you know, the banker forum, where all the bankers go to talk, you know, because when I was growing up on the internet, I was a part of so many different communities. So for pro wrestling, or for bands I liked, or for games I liked, it was always a part of my life. So sliding into the Bitcoin community rules, you know, lurk more and things that any person has familiarity with communities would be able to jump in, at least, and see what's happening and participate. Well, that's never happened with anything in finance. So here you're introducing memes, you're introducing anarchists that have, you know, that have a look that Wall Street never would have accepted 10 years ago. And now they're forced to say, maybe we need this person to be the best developer. It's bad. But the challenge, though, is that community that I kind of walked into has become some of just nonstop bickering. And it's between two camps in Bitcoin, but it's also between the Bitcoiners and the Ethereum folks. And then there's the altcoiners. And there's so much political divide that a lot of innovation has stagnated in the past year. Ethereum kind of made up for it in the short term, but you're also seeing growing pains that Ethereum is having. So now growth is stunted again. And I don't think that there's any fix to those communities or those political divides. And it's ironic that I'm saying that right now with everything that's happening, at least in America. But it's really done hell to Bitcoin. And this is the only political statement I'll make, is one of the things I've learned to love to say is politics is the mind killer. And I think it causes more harm than good. And I can sure as hell say that it's caused Bitcoin more harm than good, and it's caused blockchain more harm than good in the past year and a half. Before then, people were much more unified. I think it'll work its way out of it, but that's its biggest challenge right now. And the block size debate is another example. It's such a can of worms that to even get your mind and wrap your head around everything that's happening is almost a full-time job.
In your point of view, what will blockchain augment, change, or replace?
That's a million or billion dollar question. I'm fairly confident it's not going to be a day-to-day currency. There's too many issues with that. It's too unpleasant of an experience. Just not realistic. I do, however, see it being something else. I actually see it being very similar to gold, kind of how it is now. I think its role right now is pretty damn perfect. It is the cryptocurrency, right? And the whole between the maximalists, the Bitcoin maximalists, and the non-maximalists is about paying attention to other cryptocurrencies. Well, even those that believe in love projects like Ethereum and storage and whatever else, although I think they're built on Bitcoin too, I think they can all exist, but Bitcoin's the big dog and it needs to be the big dog. Other projects supplement it. And I think that's why Ethereum took off, is because it's doing something different from Bitcoin. It works the same way, but its goals are different. And it's never going to replace Bitcoin, which is important to know. So it really is something where I don't know what it's going to augment, change, or replace. And I'm really wishing I had a great answer, because I have so many things that it could. But I'll tell you one I love. There's a project in Brooklyn where they're using an Ethereum blockchain to distribute and basically sell and buy extra solar power that's collected, you know, from solar panels on your roof. So if you have extra for your week, you can sell it to your neighbor, and it's all done on the blockchain. You don't even know it. Now, I've heard a lot of negative things about that project, but I think in general, that idea is cool. And who knows if it's ever going to be viable on a mass scale, but you'll never know if you don't try. So there's so many of those cool things like that that I'm hoping one eventually takes off. The thing about blockchain is it's not designed to be a fast supercomputer, right? It's designed to be slow. It's designed to be kind of cumbersome and big. So it's not going to replace a lot of things that people, I think, thought it could when I kind of got into the space. I had a lot of people telling me how it was going to replace, like, media distribution, and people were going to host songs on the blockchain, which anyone listening to this that really knows that that's insane. That it's too hard to even host an image on the blockchain. You can never host a song. But the fact that there was so much about it really did lead to cool ideas and new things happening. So I don't know what it's going to be. And there's private blockchains now, side chains. There's all these new ideas coming out around it that maybe one of them will be, you know, the thing that it changes, augments, or replaces. And who knows? I really thought it was going to be Western Union and remittances for a while, but they're too entrenched, right? I don't know. Everyone likes to have answers. I'm going to be the one that will say I don't have one, but I'm hoping that sometime soon I'll be able to answer that question much easier.
Tony, how will people make money with blockchain?
That's a great question, right? I think more businesses really need to figure that question out before they start looking for funding. I would recommend anyone listening to it that has their own company answer that first. But a lot of it right now is based on speculation of Bitcoin or the cryptocurrency themselves. A lot of the payment processors, they're relying on arbitrage of their Bitcoin payments in order to make a profit. And it's working, but it's also something where how long can you rely on that for? You need to have other plans, and you can still be a software as a service model and, you know, use the blockchain as the back end. But unless your service is highly used, then that doesn't work either. There's many ideas, right? One that I like, even though I don't like the execution, is Steemit, which is Steemit. I've heard a lot of criticism about it being there being some unsavory or scammy things about it, although I will be the first to admit I don't know what they are. Well, what I do know, though, it's pretty active, and you basically get to interact, curate, share, create good content. I've had posts that I made $20 on. I think that's pretty cool. I don't think they're doing it right, but incentivizing content is a great idea. Think of Reddit upvotes or downvotes, and imagine if instead of an up or down vote, it was its own little cryptocurrency that represented a fraction of a penny. That's basically what it is. You don't even realize you're paying for something until you cash out. Actually, you're like, wow, there's money here, and this doesn't make sense. But that could be an answer. Then it goes to the thinking of, or the argument, I should say, that, oh, so what you're doing is pay for what they're getting free now. And I don't have an argument for that because it's somewhat right, but it's also somewhat just a completely different system that will act in a way that's so different you really can't compare the two. I'm hoping to see that it comes to some sort of scale and it works out, but until a lot of people use it, it's just going to be a cool idea that is just that. And another one is yours, and I'm not sure exactly on the model, but yours is a project that a friend of mine named Ryan X. Charles is a part of, and they show a lot of promise too. So if anyone's listening to this, check them out and kind of read what they're about. You'll see a lot of how the blockchain is trying to be used to improve how content is distributed and consumed.
Tony, what advice do you have for those interested in blockchain?
I think I would say if someone's just interested in learning about it, to go for it, because it's fascinating. It's probably, I would say, the biggest single innovation of my lifetime that I can think of. It really is a game changer. It answered a lot of mathematical problems. It's something that changes the way I thought about money. And I didn't even realize how not only myself, but humanity views money. And it really is maybe the only thing that humans have made more sacred than religion, at least that I see, is money. From the day people are born, their parents teach them, hey, money doesn't go around trees, right? And about how you need it to live. And it's something where you need it. It's a necessity. And to many, they're greedy and they need more, more, more. And to some, they're poor and they need more. And it's just something that's happened, and been the same for so long. And it's so ingrained for hundreds of years that here comes this new technology that is changing the way you think about money. Because, you know, it really made me understand that money is nothing else but an exchange of information. That's all money is you're exchanging information. Once you look at it like that, you go, well, cryptocurrency makes a lot of sense then. And that's kind of where it hit me. Now, there are so many people in my life, loved ones, that now they don't think that any of this is a scam because they see that I'm doing pretty damn well, but they also don't get it, and they can't wrap their head around it, and they can't wrap their head around it. And I guess my answer to that is it is the reason why is because people are interested in it. People perceive that it has value. As long as they do, it will have users and it will exist in some form. And that in my estimation is why someone should look into Bitcoin, is because it's the rare thing that happens in life, that rare black swan event that actually changes how you view something. And it will change the way society views money in the long term. In regards to those that are interested in getting into the blockchain industry or working on it, that's a little trickier. I got really lucky. I came in right at a time where there weren't many people that knew about it. So my lack of experience was just normal. And I was able to get my foot in the door. I was blessed. But I would say the best thing anyone can do is Google, find a project or two that you like. Most of them will have a GitHub or a Slack page, and join the Slack page and interact with the community. All of these projects have internet communities. And that's where they happen. A good example is Augur is a completely distributed team. We don't have a home office. We're all around the world. There's 12 of us now, or maybe 11. Since we don't have one, all of our interaction happens on our Slack page. That also includes our ridiculously large community of supporters. So it's a company in a way that really most folks, if I tried to explain to my mom or a loved one that's older, they just don't understand that. They don't understand how business can be conducted that way, when in reality, it actually saves you money because you don't have to pay for a lot of things that you would have to pay otherwise. But regardless about that, what it does provide is the ability to essentially be an intern or sit in the boardroom for a day. You can kind of see what's happening in a lot of these projects and help out and build your name that way. Even if you're not a developer, most folks are not going to turn down help. And if you show that you're passionate about it and who knows what will happen. And I've seen a lot of people that get into this space and end up being very, very happy because of it. And for the most part, that's me. I've had frustrations, but it's been a blessing to my life. And I hope it continues to be, even though I fully admit that it's like anything else. You never know, something can happen, but I don't see it happening. And I would encourage anyone to just learn as much as they can. There's enough short YouTube explainer videos out there where you can kind of get the basics probably in a half hour to an hour at most, and pursue that and just keep learning. You know, at the very worst, you learn something new, and the very best, you have a new skill that's still limited, especially for developers. And last thing I'll say is the one thing this space is lacking is developers. I read something where there's about 150 blockchain developers out there right now in the world, and there's not schools that teach this. There's not programs that teach this. So those folks are people that like it and love it. So they taught themselves, or maybe one or two got hired and someone taught them, but it's still small. So that community is really competitive. And I would say for any developers that are listening to this, you should consider working on blockchain projects, because I would almost guarantee you will be in higher demand than other software projects or startups that are around right now.
Well, thanks so much, Tony.
No problem. Thank you for having me.
For more on this, visit blockchainbillionspodcast.com. Be sure to subscribe, rate, and review. And for a book about this, check out blockchainbillionsbook.com. Thanks for listening.